Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. When Bubble in the Sun by Christopher Knowlton is a narrative history of the Florida land boom of the 1920s and its wider economic consequences. The book examines how speculative real estate frenzy, easy credit, promotional hype, and rapid development transformed places such as Miami, Coral Gables, Boca Raton, and Miami Beach before the market collapsed. Knowlton uses this regional story to explain a larger national pattern how localized bubbles can distort capital flows, encourage reckless optimism, and deepen financial fragility. The book is both a history of Florida and a cautionary study of speculation, showing how ambition, infrastructure, celebrity developers, and environmental vulnerability combine to produce a dramatic rise and fall. It is written for readers interested in economic history, real estate booms, and the origins of the Great Depression. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Florida land speculation as a regional bubble with national consequences. A central idea of the book is that the Florida boom was not just a local real estate episode, but part of a broader speculative culture in 1920s America. Knowlton shows how land prices rose quickly as buyers, brokers, and outside investors chased profits, often relying on leverage rather than long-term value. The book explains that this kind of market can appear self-sustaining while credit remains available and optimism dominates. Once financing tightens or confidence breaks, the same mechanisms reverse sharply. By linking Florida's collapse to the onset of the Great Depression, the book argues that regional bubbles can help destabilize national financial systems. This is important because it reframes real estate history as an economic warning rather than a purely local story. The Florida case becomes a concrete example of how speculative excess in one market can influence banks, investor psychology, and broader economic vulnerability. Secondly, how promoters and visionaries turned land into a luxury fantasy. The book gives substantial attention to the developers and promoters who helped turn raw land into a story of modern luxury and opportunity. Figures such as Carl Fisher, George Merrick, and Addison Misner are used to show how imagination and marketing could reshape public perceptions of place. Their projects were not merely construction ventures. They were attempts to sell a lifestyle built on elegance, exclusivity, and tropical modernity. Knowlton's treatment makes clear that this promotional energy was economically powerful because it converted vague expectations into buying behavior. The result was a market driven as much by aspiration and status as by practical land use. At the same time, the book suggests that these visions often masked weak fundamentals. Reading this section helps the reader understand how urban development can be propelled by narrative, branding, and social ambition, especially when investors are willing to confuse aesthetic appeal with durable economic value. Thirdly, credit expansion, bank exposure, and the mechanics of speculative collapse. Knowlton emphasizes that the Florida boom depended heavily on credit and financial engineering, not just enthusiasm. Easy lending, deposit-funded speculation, and widespread use of options and small down payments allowed many people to participate without much capital at risk. This created a market where prices could rise rapidly because more buyers could enter than would otherwise have been possible. The same structure also made the system fragile. When property values stopped climbing, highly leveraged buyers and exposed banks faced losses at the same time. The book uses this dynamic to explain how a real estate downturn can spill into the financial sector and intensify a wider crash. The lesson is not simply that speculation is risky, but that credit conditions shape the scale and speed of risk. This makes the book especially useful for readers who want to understand the connection between lending practices, asset inflation, and systemic instability. Fourthly, hurricane damage, environmental limits, and the vulnerability of boom towns. Another important dimension of the book is its attention to environment and infrastructure. The Florida boom was built in a setting that was physically vulnerable, and Knowlton shows that natural forces played a major role in exposing those weaknesses. The devastating hurricane that struck South Florida helped accelerate the collapse by damaging confidence, disrupting construction, and revealing how precarious the boom really was. More broadly, the book treats the Everglades and the surrounding landscape not as empty space waiting for development, but as an active constraint on ambitious schemes. This matters because it broadens the definition of economic risk. The failure of the Florida land boom was not caused only by financial excess. It also reflected the tension between development pressure and environmental reality. Readers interested in urban history will find this especially valuable because it shows that land markets are shaped by ecology, geography, and disaster exposure as well as by speculation and policy. Lastly, a cautionary history written through vivid characters and disciplined research. What distinguishes the book from a purely academic account is the way it combines accessible narrative with careful historical reconstruction. Knowlton does not present the Florida boom as an abstract case study. He organizes the material around memorable personalities, public excitement, and the rise and fall of a dramatic era. That approach makes the book readable for general audiences while still serving readers who want economic context. The strength of the book lies in this balance. It captures the atmosphere of the 1920s without losing sight of the structural forces that made the bubble dangerous. It also avoids reducing the collapse to a single cause, instead showing how speculation, credit, promotion, development, and environmental fragility reinforced one another. This combination gives the book lasting relevance. It is not only a history of a failed boom, but also a framework for thinking about how modern property markets can become detached from fundamentals when optimism and leverage feed each other. In conclusion, Bubble in the Sun should be read by anyone interested in economic history, real estate cycles, Florida history, or the origins of the Great Depression. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand how speculative manias form, how credit amplifies them, and how a local collapse can contribute to a national downturn. The book also offers value to real estate professionals, policy readers, and investors because it turns a historical episode into a practical study of market behavior, promotion, and risk. What makes it stand out from many books in the same category is its combination of narrative energy and structural analysis. It does not treat the Florida boom as a simple story of greed or bad timing. Instead, it connects personalities, urban ambition, banking practices, and environmental vulnerability in a single account. It's that broader perspective gives the book more explanatory power than a narrow local history and makes it useful as both a historical narrative and a warning about recurring patterns in property markets. If you would like to support Christopher Knowlton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.